Welcome, everyone, to the One More Game podcast. I'm one of your co-hosts, Jeremy Culver, a.k.a. Darce, and with me, filling in for Pete Leisure this week, is Sharif. Don't do me dirty, because all I want is love, Hamilton. Sharif, how you doing, man?
Excellent, sir. How are you?
I am doing just fine, and I, of course, am very busy today. This is why, unfortunately, normally we would be live streaming this, and of course, we would normally be on time, but we are not live streaming it, and as you know, I am not on time, so I'm doing my best to keep things up, so that way I don't impact you too much. But how have things been with you, man? I mean, it's been obviously a hot minute since we've been able to have you on the show, but, you know, give us a quick update into Sharif life right now.
It's been pretty good. I can't really complain too much. And yeah, man, this is episode 3 that I'm on. So yeah, I've been waiting for this moment.
There you go. See, there we go. The three-peat. That's how you do it. You've entered into the dynasty era here on the One More Game podcast. It's just what we do around here. I do have a quick question for you before we get into the introduction of the show. And part of this is because I just finished watching the big tournament that this did take place. But, Sharif, can you beatbox?
Oh, I'm not that very skilled. With my mouth.
Yes, man. I was bringing it up because there was a YouTube tournament going on for like the last like 2-3 months that I've been following, called like the BBU tournament, Beatbox University tournament or something like that, and it just wrapped up. The guy that I wanted to win unfortunately came in second place, but it definitely has revived my drive to do beatboxing. Like, I always do like random like beatboxing, so to speak, when I'm like doing random things around the house. I am, of course, nowhere close to as good as some of these people that were in the tournament, but I was just curious if you were. So now we know a little bit more about old Sharif Love Hamilton.
Man, of all things, that surprises me, but it's interesting. So now, randomly, I'm just going to ask you to break into it.
Oh man, this is my go-to when I do beatboxing around the house. Is like, that's my go-to around the house.
All right, that was interesting.
There you go. That's what you get here on the One More Game podcast. Everybody, thank you so much for tuning into the One More Game podcast. This is a podcast centered around making sure you're informed about all the video game news happening around the world, whether it's Nintendo, Xbox, PlayStation, PC, or beatboxing. If there's news that you need to know about, we'll make sure that you know about it. When you're listening to this on your podcast service, make sure you hit the subscribe button or the follow button, depending on what your service offers. And if your podcast service allows reviews, please leave a 5-star review and tell everyone why you love the One More Game podcast, because we really enjoy bringing this to you each and every Friday. If you'd like to be part of the show by asking a question or suggesting a topic for discussion, head on over to pressstartnews.net/onemoregame and fill out the submission form, and your submission could be used on the next episode, or when we are live streaming it. Unfortunately, as I said, we are not doing it this time. You can drop your questions off into the chat and we will reference them as we go through the podcast. But if this is your first time to the podcast, welcome to the podcast. I hope you enjoy your listen and I hope you enjoy your stay. But if you are returning, you already know what it is. We start off every single podcast talking about what we've been playing lately. So Sharif, what have you been playing lately?
Duel and Lego Star Wars Skywalker Saga, I believe it's called. Okay. And I downloaded Stray because I wanted to play that. Can't go wrong with cats.
How about yourself? I have been playing a lot of the same stuff. So, like, I've been making mentions here on the podcast a little bit, but of course, for those that, you know me personally, like yourself, you know that I'm getting into the preparation steps of moving. So actually, I've been doing a lot of stuff to get ready for that. And when we finish the recording here tonight, I am heading to the town that I am moving to and looking at houses starting tomorrow. So, like, it's been very busy. It's why I'm late to the podcast. But I've been playing a lot of The Last Remnant still, getting a little bit further in that, and Fire Emblem Warriors Three Hopes. So, I just have to say, I'm a huge fan of Dynasty Warriors. I've made mention of that here on the podcast, talking about playing Dynasty Warriors 9 Empires, if I remember correctly, is the newest one, and all that jazz. But there's something about the Fire Emblem Warriors game, Three Hopes at least, that is just so good that I wish that they would somehow incorporate the story mode more into the main Dynasty Warriors game. Now, I understand, of course, in Dynasty Warriors, there are so many officers and generals, and of course, they're all, for the most part, real historical figures that are in the game. To try and build like a true story mode out of it can be difficult, but the way they've done Fire Emblem Warriors Three Hopes, it's so well done. It almost feels like it is just an action Fire Emblem game that it's like, man, I just could imagine like a series or a story being built out of the Dynasty Warriors one, where you really truly get to do these things with like Cao Cao and Xiao Dan and Liu Bei and Lu Bu and things of that nature, that it could just really, storytelling wise, would be awesome. But of course, it fits more in the Fire Emblem setting, so I can totally see why like this works for this kind of scenario. But I'm really enjoying it so far. I'm still not very far into it because of being so busy. I haven't really spent a lot of time onto it. But I gotta ask you, Sharif, a couple of questions. But first off, are you a Dynasty Warriors fan, or like a fan of any of the Warriors spinoffs, I guess? And second question. Yes. You are? Yeah. All right. So have you picked up, or are you planning to pick up Fire Emblem Warriors?
You want to get it? I have the previous one. And what I was going to say, as far as Dynasty Warriors, they could actually do the story if they stop releasing so many games and focus on one, because I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I'm pretty sure they're not something like a AAA title, which they could take their time, make a decent story. And there you go. The game will sell itself, my opinion.
I would agree with you. I mean, again, I know for some people, they don't love the quote-unquote button-mashing aspect of Dynasty Warriors. But again, that is the Musou genre, right? The 1-versus-1,000 genre. But it's still so... It feels so fun, personally, when you head into a battle and you're just this one guy that just, you know, slays hundreds of soldiers as you go across the map. But as you said, I just feel like the one thing that could help hook people that maybe aren't a huge fan of the button mashing aspect is a really well-played storyline. And I know that, of course, they, for almost all the Dynasty Warriors games, they really follow the Yellow Turban Rebellion in historical history. And then I can't remember what the name of the other one is, but they follow those two the most because they were big, prominent moments in Chinese history. But you could still build a really good storyline following the central characters out of it, as you said, if they didn't release. You know, they have, of course, the regular version, then they have the Empire's version, which is always my favorite of them, and then they always have the Extreme Legends version as well, and it's always three that get released before they're like, all right, now let's do the next entry. And I think it would be really well worth it if they, as you said, focused a little bit more maybe on one entry or just two of those entries as they move forward. Sharif, I do want to ask, because you talked about the games you were playing. I think you said, because you're cutting off a little bit when you first start talking, but I think you said Doom and then you said the Lego Skywalkers game. But my question goes off of it because I know you were planning to pick up, it just came out today, is Live Alive. So are you holding off on picking that up while you play those games, or has that on the way coming? How does, what is your plans with that one?
Get the game because me and my brother have been actually like really excited for it. And the game that I said I was playing was DNF Duel.
Oh, DNF Duel.
Yeah, I've been playing it with you know, some of our friend circle, and right now I'm the weakest link, so I try to practice when I'm not progressing in Lego Star Wars.
Who's your main in DNF Duel right now?
Right now I am using Grappler.
Grappler. Okay. Okay. I've been very hooked on watching Maximilian's YouTube videos of his streams, his online matches, and of course he's playing as Troubleshooter, and I've seen a lot in his videos. It seems like a lot of people are either playing Ranger right now, Crusader, and Berserker. So I'm glad to hear you're switching it up a little bit.
But what I was going to say is, as far as the Maximilian videos go, he has a mod for Troubleshooter, so his actual voice is there doing these ranked matches, which makes it more exciting. And plus, the character already looked like him, so yeah, he is definitely enjoyable.
Yeah, and he also has, as part of that mod, a skin that overwrites the main character that adds the beard for Maximilian. It is not out for release just yet. He makes mention in his videos that there's still some things that are needing to be tweaked with the mod, but it will be coming out. So I do enjoy it. I do enjoy it quite a bit. But we have been talking about what we've been playing lately for quite a bit. Let's get into our gaming catalog, because there is a long list that I do have on here, and I think it'll have some pretty good discussions overall across this. We have Discord is coming to Xbox. Naughty Dog releases The Last of Us Part 1 remake video. Platinum Games is working on some unannounced projects, and we get the first look at Yakuza 8. That's all coming up here on the One More Game podcast, but let's get started with our main catalog, the main title, as I say, and it is Discord Voice Chat is coming to Xbox. This is coming from The Verge, written by Ash Parrish and Tom Warren, and it goes as follows. Discord and Microsoft are bringing Discord voice calls to the Xbox. The feature, available now to Xbox insiders and coming soon to the rest of us, will allow users to connect to Discord voice chats from their Xbox, facilitating all kinds of cross-platform play shenanigans. The process of connecting your Xbox and Discord accounts and starting up a voice chat is pretty involved. First, you have to download the Xbox mobile app, as you'll use your phone to transfer Discord calls to an Xbox. Then you have to connect your Xbox account to your Discord one. If you've connected them in the past, the instructions state that you'll need to do so again to accept the new voice permissions. Once that's done, whenever you want to talk with your Discord homies on Xbox, you can start a call on Discord, hit the transfer to Xbox button, choose an Xbox console on the Xbox mobile app, and you're done. You'll be able to initiate a transfer from Discord on desktop or the web, and a QR code will be displayed that opens the Xbox mobile app. Xbox users will even see a Try Discord Voice on Xbox prompt inside the Parties and Chats section of the Xbox dashboard. This will include a QR code for Discord and Xbox mobile apps to connect and set up the two-way link between a Discord account and an Xbox. I'm going to skip down just a little bit for this part, where it basically says, you know, of course, this means you can't join Discord calls directly from Xbox, and there's no dedicated Discord app on the console. Instead, you will always use the mobile app to sling calls across as they integrate into the Xbox party-like interface. Quote, while you are playing on your console, you will be able to see who is in the call and speaking, explains Eric Vares, principal program manager for Xbox Player Experience and Platforms. You'll also be able to adjust the sound and switch between Discord voice and Xbox game chat. Microsoft and Discord will start rolling out this new integration to select Xbox users today, and then it will expand to more testers in the coming weeks, but it's not clear exactly when all Xbox owners will get the Discord voice chat support, but Microsoft usually tests the new Xbox features for a few weeks or months before rolling them out broadly. Now, I gotta ask you, Sharif, because you are definitely, between you and I, you are more of the Xbox user. So I gotta ask you, how do you feel about the voice chat integration coming? What does this, I guess, excitement level for you measure as?
I have it, I haven't used it, and I feel as though it would be better as an app. But I know Microsoft is trying to do everything to, you know, keep up with the Joneses. I just wish they would have waited and did it as an app, because you're going to have a lot of people that have trouble doing it. Or what about someone that might not have a phone? As common as that may be to have a cell phone, not everybody has one. So, yeah, that's just my take, though.
Yeah, I want to say I agree with you with that on that Discord app aspect, because this sounds awesome for me personally. I've been wanting something like this across chat for quite a while. I've had, again, you know, I'm a big PlayStation guy, but I play a lot on PC. But I don't get on PlayStation chat as much as I used to. As you know, like, we used to always hop in the PlayStation chat, and I'm always now on my PC for the most part, and I get on the chat, PlayStation chat, every once in a great while. But I love, like, when I want to play a PC game, sometimes I want to talk with the people who are on PlayStation chat, and it's been, like, cumbersome trying to figure out, well, how do I do this voice chat so I can still hear my friends and still talk with them, but still play the game that I want to play and hear the game that I want to hear. And so doing this integration sounds great, but the way that this is laid out is so cumbersome that even if what you describe, right, if somebody who doesn't have a phone, this is going to obviously completely eliminate it. You can't even use it. But for the, like, the average user who may not be, like, I guess, totally into all this stuff, it may not be super hard on paper, but it's still cumbersome to the point that I could see people just being like, screw it, I'm not even going to mess with this. Like, this is just too much. So having a dedicated app would have been great. And I hope that that does eventually get added. Do you feel like this is, I guess, going to be widely used? Or do you feel like this would be something that you would use because of the fact that we do have friends playing on different aspects? Or do you feel like you pretty much just stick to talking with one people on, you know, whatever system you're playing on at the moment?
Me personally, I wouldn't mind using it, because a bunch of our inner circle has Discord, so that would be cool. Or let's just say if I'm a guest on the podcast again and this is being streamed live, I could test the game and, you know, tell them live and explain to them this, that, and the third while we're still recording, because it will be easier than having the phone, the computer, the tablet, or et cetera, open and trying to do that all at once. I think it's a great idea, because I remember when I had to use Skype to talk to my friends that had the PS4 when I just had the Xbox One. So, yeah. So, wow. I think it's a good idea.
That is quite the throwback, saying that you had to use Skype to talk to us on PS4. That is... Again, a situation not similar to, like, exactly what I'm doing or what I've been having to do now, but in a sense similar to that, because of the fact, like, I remember a couple of weeks ago or months ago now, probably was months ago, but I was wanting to play something on my PC, but I wanted to chat with, you know, just naming off some of our friends, right? I wanted to chat with you. I saw you were on the PlayStation chat, and I saw our former co-host Isaac was on the PlayStation chat and a couple of other friends. And I was like, well, I want to chat with them, but I don't want to play my PlayStation 4 or 5 at the moment. I'd rather play this game that I want on my PC. So I did this whole, like, using, like, an ear... a wireless one, but like an earbud in one ear, and then I, like, tried to, like, just use my speaker to, like, so I could hear the game and talk with you guys. And I remember it ended up being that you guys couldn't hear me because the microphone on my earpiece wasn't picking up properly, and I ended up just leaving the call. It was like, all right, whatever, I tried. That having something like this would be great. But I do gotta ask, off of that, last year PlayStation partnered with Discord, invested in Discord. I don't remember exactly the sum, but they invested money to integrate into it. And so far, the only integration that PlayStation has done with Discord is making it so that way when you are playing a game on PlayStation, your friends on Discord can see what game you're playing, or vice versa, you can see what your friends are playing when they're playing on PlayStation. The voice thing has been said to be coming at some point, but of course it is not there just yet. So I guess it's a two-part question. First, are you surprised that Xbox got this integration first because of the Sony partnership? And then two, how far along do you think later on will PlayStation get this? Do you feel like it's months away, a year away? How would you, just guessing, feel like it is?
Go on a limb here and say it would probably be around Christmas time. Or like the winter when PlayStation gets it. And I don't want to say I'm surprised, because money talks. And right now Microsoft is trying to get everything they can to keep their subscriber count so high like it already is. So I'm not really shocked. I'm just shocked that they didn't take a little bit longer and do an app instead, based upon seeing how PlayStation just has what they have as far as just being able to see, like, your friend online.
Yeah, I agree there. I'm surprised only because of the fact of the money investment. Again, they haven't announced how much money was invested, but Sony became a minority investor into Discord. Xbox tried to purchase Discord, and Discord ended up deciding to stay independent. So the deal fell through. But I haven't seen anywhere that through that discussion, Microsoft ended up investing into Discord itself. So like, I don't know if there is that investment. I haven't seen an article out there saying there is that investment. So that's the only reason why I'm a little surprised, because of the money investment aspect. But discussions around possibly purchasing Discord by Microsoft have been going on a little bit longer than, of course, the news that Sony ended up investing in Discord. So maybe there was already work behind the scenes to do this integration. But I agree with you. I think at the earliest, because of the way that this article details the voice integration on Xbox, it sounds like it's still kind of almost in a infancy, you know, beta, almost alpha testing stage to roll it out. And I don't see PlayStation, I guess, being that far along yet if Xbox is at this point. That I feel like there's going to be, it's going to take more time. So I agree with you. I kind of see maybe at the earliest sometime around that winter time frame, but I could see sometime possibly early next year being that further integration if it doesn't come out sometime in the next, you know, roughly 4 to 5 months. But that's all coming up, obviously, in the future. Let's look at our next article that's coming from Video Games Chronicle, and it is written by Tom Ivan, and it is Naughty Dog releases official Last of Us remake gameplay after, quote, hurtful leaks. And it goes as follows. Naughty Dog has shown off the first official The Last of Us Part 1 gameplay following a series of leaks that developers have described as disheartening, frustrating, and hurtful. The 10-minute features and gameplay deep dive video below includes interviews with the directors of The Last of Us Part 1, who discuss, quote, how the team went in and rebuilt the beloved game from the ground up. An accompanying blog, PlayStation blog post confirms the game can render native 4K at targeted 30 frames per second or dynamic 4K at a targeted 60 frames per second. Quote, the PS5's powerful hardware drives a host of visual benefits, from denser physics with tons of bumpables and chippables. Bullets can now rip apart concrete and environmental objects, and cinematics now transition seamlessly to gameplay, it reads. Quote, motion matching technology means that character animations flow more convincingly, intuitively, and realistically, all adding another layer of believability to characters and their interactions with the world. Further AI upgrades means the character inhabit the world more in an authentic and realistic way, such as buddy characters navigating cover to avoid enemy NPC sightlines more authentically. Naughty Dog has also added permadeath and speedrun focused modes, plus new unlockable costumes for Joel and Ellie. Now, the release of the official gameplay follows a number of leaks showing off the game's intro, combat, and accessibility options, among other features. And It basically going from some of the people with Naughty Dog says, quote, "Leaks really suck," said Naughty Dog Vice President Aaron Meyer after the release of the official video, "especially when we're right on the cusp of an asset dropped. It's disheartening, frustrating to teams who put their hearts making awesome things for our fans." And Naughty Dog senior editor Samuel Prince echoed Meyer's feelings about the leak, saying, quote, "They're extremely hurtful to the devs who work tirelessly to bring you these wonderful games. Public-facing assets take a long time to create, revise, approve, localize, clear legal, ESRB, etc. So be kind." Now, Sharif, I got to ask you basically off of that first part, and then I want you to kind of just touch on the fact of the stuff coming out. But do you feel leaks like this hurt game devs?
In a sense, yes, because a lot of times they may not be ready to show off the said project at the time. So yes, I understand how it could be hurtful, etc., because a lot of these companies have that you notice, either they've been going under crunch time or these projects are like their baby. So yes, and to touch on what you read about the remake or whatever, I personally feel that a lot of people are complaining about it but aren't going to buy it. Like, while I don't agree with it being $70, I personally think you can just show the company with your wallet and not get it. Let them see like how you feel about it, rather than what they're doing now with the leaks and everybody up in arms about it. Because prior to us getting going here, I was looking at some articles and it's just like, sheesh. Like, it looks great. From somebody that didn't finish the first one, it looks great. But yeah.
Yeah, I will say, so two parts. First off, I completely agree. I do think leaks hurt developers. And it's not in a like physical or like financial hurting, but it just hurts because, you know, if I created things using my time in news, right, when I created things, I worked tirelessly to make sure it fit what I was looking to produce and bring out. And I always, I guess, loved the aspect of when I finally was able to release that thing out to our viewers. So like when I worked on an in-depth piece that takes, you know, sometimes a month or two to put together, the build-up always made it feeling great when it actually got out to the viewers, to the people, to actually take it in. So I can imagine, as a dev who is working on this for a year, 2 years, 3 years, whatever it might be, that yes, it still gets out there to the viewers, but it doesn't get released in the light or in the way that you were planning on it to be released. And that just can be crushing, even if it is still, yes, the video's out there for people to see. It's just, you know, it's basically, it got, didn't get released when you expected it to. And that can be disheartening and hurting, you know, as a creator. Now, on the second thing, I do want to say, I know you said for you, you don't feel, or you are on the fence on if you feel it's worth the $70. I'm going to tell you, I think it's worth it. I likely am not picking it up. I've already beat The Last of Us Part 1. I own The Last of Us Part 1 on the remaster on PS4. But it's still just the fact of, I've seen the screenshots showing the comparisons and stuff. It's not just a reskin. Yes, the gameplay itself might be, you know, not upgraded as some of the outcries that you're seeing online are. But still, the character models are completely remade. The textures of the maps are remade. This was built, at least the way that they're saying it, from the ground up to get you this higher quality, higher looking of a game. And I feel as a creator, not really just a consumer, but in a creator in this aspect, what I feel my work is worth is what should be paid. And I know that for some people, they look at it as this is a cash grab, but I feel like the work and time put in is, these developers are worth, quote unquote, the $70. And like you said, if you don't want it, then don't buy it. That doesn't necessarily mean that they can't complain or say anything online. We've had this discussion recently as well about like bullying game developers and stuff. You can still talk about, yeah, I don't like it. I don't think it's worth my wallet. But some of the things that I've seen online is similar in nature to other discussions where it's gamers bashing other gamers for potentially buying this and using, you know, negative terms towards those people for potentially buying this. If they really like it, if they think it's worth it, or they want to spend their $70 on it, let them spend it on it. It doesn't hurt you as a gamer, but we shouldn't be sitting here dragging other people because they want to buy this thing. I mean, I've bought games that are terrible, that are terrible games, or that they were reviewed terribly. But I bought it because I wanted the game and I thought it looked great. And you know what? I ended up enjoying it. But like, be honest, people online drag those people. Like, I just don't see the point in dragging them in that aspect. I guess to echo that, do you feel similar that we should not be dragging other people or trying to, you know, throw dirt on them just because they want to potentially buy something like this or something else that they don't agree with?
No. Oh. Everybody should be entitled to do what they feel as long as it's not harming anyone. Like, for prime example, I truly despise Fortnite. But there's people that play it, and they want to spend their money to get their skins and etc. So be it. It's not making me lose any sleep. It's not taking any money out of my pocket. So I can just calmly mind my business. If someone asks me, I express my sentiments without interrupting anyone. It's fun. But speaking of bad games that you bought, it leads into one of our next titles, if I'm not mistaken. You bought a game by Platinum Games.
I did.
That we all played for a short period of time, but you bought the actual game, and I've never seen you touch it again.
I did.
You care to touch on that?
I will touch on it as we read this article. So let's read the article and then I'll touch on it real quick. So we're going into our next article, as Sharif just talked about. We're talking about Platinum Games, and it is Platinum Games is working on several unannounced projects. And this is written by Francis Kina over by at enemy.com. And it goes as follows. Platinum Games has revealed that it's currently working on, quote, a few other unannounced titles with different publishers. This comes from a new lengthy interview with popular Japanese publication Famitsu, with Platinum Games President Atsushi Inaba, and Vice President Hideki Kamiya and Takao Yamane. And it goes, Inaba revealed that, quote, there are a few other unreleased titles, some of which are on the brink of production and some of which are still in their infancy, but notes that the developer can't give away any specifics as it's up to the publishing partners. Additionally, Inaba states the company is working on a brand new IP alongside the previously announced Project GG. In regards to the upcoming Bayonetta 3, Project GG, and the new IP, Inaba described them all as being, quote, large-scale projects. Inaba also expresses an interest in increasing the company's size, which currently sits at just shy of 300 employees, to accommodate all of the new projects with a future goal of being 1,000 employees. However, both he and Kamiya agree that it's an ambitious number. Inaba also mentions that this could lead to more studios outside of Osaka and Tokyo, with Hakata and Sapporo being mentioned as potential locations. Currently, Platinum Games' next title slated for release is Bayonetta 3, which will release exclusively on Nintendo Switch on October 28th, almost 5 years after its initial teaser trailer. The release date announcement also came with a new substantial trailer showing off 3 minutes of in-game footage, including the first look at the new playable character Viola. The latest title to come from Platinum Games was this year's critically panned Babylon's Fall, as Sharif mentioned, which also failed to gain traction with players, falling to one concurrent player on Steam just 2 months after its launch. Despite this, Platinum and Square Enix are seemingly still committed to the game, with the game's second season being extended by 3 months. So let me start with my things, and then I'm going to get into this article. But I really enjoyed Babylon's Fall. I still think that it is a good game. I am not going to call it great. I have talked about that extensively. It is not a great game, but it is a good game. And I would call it, personally, I'd give it like a 6 or a 7 out of 10. I think it's a lot of fun. I think it has a good character, I guess, creation in a sense, or customizing of your character, like how you want your character's play style to be. And I think that the world, the setting is fairly cool. There's just some, of course, things that don't play well or don't look great, as in, of course, the character art style that they went with, the oil painting, just some in some settings looks good, but in other settings looks really terrible. And of course, also, there are some times when you're like traversing the battles, the maps, I should say, that it feels repetitive. And so there are those negative aspects to it. But I really enjoyed it. Now, you talked about why, like, you haven't seen me touch it in a while. And you're exactly right. My wife comments on it all the time, too. And I want to get back to it. The problem is because of my backlog that I bring up on every episode. So I'm bringing it up right here, is I feel the need to try to get through other games with my backlog, that Babylon's Fall basically took a huge, backseat to that. And so part of it is the fact of now I know I have a lot to do to catch back up in Babylon's Fall, but it's also the fact of because I don't have a lot of friends that are playing it to like entice me to jump back in. I feel, of course, I can always just jump back in when I decide I want to while I go play these other games. So that's really the only reason I haven't jumped back into Babylon's Fall. It's not because I all of a sudden was like, oh yeah, this game's now terrible. I still think it's a good game and I still had fun with it. I still have fun with it, but it's just not, a pressing game to jump onto right now. But with this all being said, I know you are a fan of Nier Automata, or at least I feel I'm correct in saying that when we talked about Nier Automata before. So for you, though, how do you feel about knowing that Platinum Games has these other titles in the pipeline outside of Bayonetta 3?
Okay, so Nier Automata, a great game. I didn't finish it, but I got far. Some of the stuff I didn't fully understand, but I was having fun and enjoying it. The combat's great. Great game. Platinum Games, they, at one point, I felt like they were a underrated studio. But for every good game they drop something bad. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles in Manhattan. Babylon Falls, etc. So I'm looking forward to see what they do. I just hope that they learn from their mistakes and keep going and take criticism if anyone gives it to them, because yeah, they put out some stinkers along with the great games.
Well, I would say, just going off of that real quick, using Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, you got to remember though, at that time when it released, well, yes, I think that there were high expectations for that game. They were still a smaller-esque studio at that time, so maybe the expectations were just set, I guess, a little bit too high. But, like, you know, I do think they have, I personally think they hit more than they miss. And
yes, so if you look at the list, I have the list pulled up, and yes, they definitely do hit more than they miss. It's just lately it's just been a big miss. Miss with Babylon Fall, like that's wild. And as far as the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, I literally wanted to break my controller. I never played a game, tried beating on the hardest difficulty, and just said, you know what, I'm gonna take this game out of my system and give it to the first person that wants it.
I never played it, so yeah. I don't even know what it plays like, so
yeah, don't play with air instead.
I love the Platinum Games titles. I need to get through Bayonetta and Bayonetta 2, but I love Nier Automata. I think Nier Automata is a fantastic game. It is one of my, honestly, all-time favorites. I loved that game so much. So the fact that there are more games coming makes me feel very happy. I'm hoping that one of these titles is an Astral Chain 2 entry. Now, I haven't played Astral Chain myself, but that is a game that I have been wanting since the day it dropped. And again, course of my backlog, I just have not picked it up, but I need to. And what I also hope actually from this, and it's a pipe dream, it's likely never going to happen, and of course I hope that it does end up happening, but I would love for the game to, one of those games, to be a revival of Scalebound. So Scalebound, of those that don't remember, was a game that Platinum Games and Xbox were making together, and we're going to release, and it's honestly the one of the reasons I got an Xbox One back in the day, is I really wanted to eventually play Scalebound. It looked fantastic to me, fit everything that I wanted, but it got canceled, and that was at a time where Platinum Games may very well have been in over their heads trying to make something like that, and Xbox just was decided eventually, hey, we're gonna cut ties and make this game not happen. So that took place. And now, though, since then, Platinum Games has released a lot of good entries. Of course, not always great. Babylon's Fall, again, being one that was critically panned, earlier this year. But Babylon's Fall is an online game, which is what Scalebound was supposed to be. And so I feel like even if it's not been the greatest of releases for them, it still gives them valuable experience to carry to a Scalebound title. And Platinum Games has said over the years that they would love to revisit that game at some point. And so having a chance to revisit that would be awesome, in my opinion. I'd finally get to at least see that game come to life. I hope it would be great. It looked, again, fantastic to me, but unfortunately, it was one of those things where, business is business, and Xbox had to cut ties on it. So that's the case, but I mean, it would be a large-scale project, so hopefully that would be, again, one of those. And I just also think Platinum Games is an underrated studio personally, and I hope that they do end up continuing to succeed and reach growth measures that they're looking to. Again, they're hoping to expand from 300 employees all the way to 1,000 employees. That is a big number, but just in general, I hope they continue to have the growth, and I also hope Bayonetta 3 is an awesome launch. The trailer looked fantastic. If you haven't checked it out already, go check it out, but I think Bayonetta 3 is probably going to be another hit for them, and I just look forward to what these other projects are and when they will be coming down later in the future. But yeah, Astral Chain 2 and Scalebound, make those happen, Platinum Games. I think Sharif is still having some issues, so we're gonna move to the next article, and I will just keep doing this as a solo show if we got to do it. So we're going to the next one, and it is coming from IGN, written by Ryan Dinsdale, and it is Yakuza 8 first images reveal returning characters from Like a Dragon, and it goes as follows. The first images from Yakuza 8 have appeared online, revealing the various characters will be returning from previous entry, Yakuza Like a Dragon. As reported by Famitsu, a behind-the-scenes video from YouTuber and MMA fighter Mikuru Asakura gave a tour of developer Ryu Gagotoku Studio. I always mess up their name, so I'm sorry about that. But alongside a brief look at Like a Dragon heroes Ichiban Kazuga, Koichi Adachi, and Yu Nanba in the new game below. And of course, this is in the article. You got to go down and look at the images. But Yakuza 8 will reportedly be set in a new town, and we also learned that Asakura will himself be featured in the game as a character. Now, Kasuga has also somewhat of a makeover. Some of those may remember he has kind of an afro in the game. Well, it looks like in these new images, he has his hair tied back instead. Now, this is the first proper piece of information we've had about Yakuza 8, as it was only confirmed to be in development by the studio back in November of 2021. Studio director Masayoshi Yokoyama did confirm a little at the time, saying the new game would be a continuation of Like a Dragon story set a few years later, so it makes sense that these main characters would appear in the new footage. Now, we also do know Yakuza 8 will remain a turn-based RPG, which is, of course, very different from the other Yakuza games outside of Like a Dragon, which were action-based titles. Like a Dragon was the first one to be turn-based, and it is currently still available on Xbox Game Pass for those that do want to check it out, but it is released also on PC and PlayStation. Now, for myself, I am super happy to see this. I have not finished Like a Dragon, but I love the Yakuza games that I have played. I haven't played all of them, but I've loved the Yakuza games that I have played. I really enjoyed Like a Dragon and find the turn-based combat of it very fun. I love the over-the-topness of Yakuza games, and I find, of course, with Like a Dragon, the turn-based being even more over-the-top is absolutely hilarious. And so getting a piece to see these, even if it is just straight character models, and that's exactly what it is. It's basically some images of the characters talking amongst themselves, standing in a room. There's not too much of it. It's no gameplay. It's no character creation. And of course, the text on there is in Japanese, so can't even get an idea of like what the story or what they're saying, for myself at least, comes out of it. But I'm just happy that, of course, we're seeing these images. It could very well mean that within the next maybe year and a half, we finally get a Yakuza 8 reveal and possible release date. I would think sometime maybe holiday 2023, maybe we get something from this, or maybe even we would get a reveal in spring of 2023 to eventually come out with the release later that year, possibly into early 2024. But like, this is really cool. I am a huge fan of turn-based RPGs. I think that they are very fun. Personally, I think that the fact that they make you think about your moves and your actions is what entices me most about turn-based RPGs. It really makes me think about what moves I want to do and how I want to handle the battle itself. And I think that games like Yakuza, Like a Dragon, and of course this Yakuza 8 do a great job in introducing new people to turn-based RPGs or turn-based combat that may not have given it a chance in the past. So I hope that this is, of course, a continued, in my opinion, renaissance of the turn-based RPG formulas. But we'll see, of course, what that means in the future. I know, of course, the upcoming Final Fantasy 16 is not turn-based. So that is, of course, one game series that I wish would go back to turn-based in a kind of format, I guess, to have for future games. But
without using profanity, my excitement level is through the roof for Yakuza 8, because I was always a fan of the games, but now that not only are they more accessible, but now they have English voice acting, so it makes it more easier for someone to pick up and play. I beat Like a Dragon, and it was just so many cool details, like how they pay homage to Dragon Quest throughout the game, and parts where they even paid homage to Pokemon with homeless people. I mean, it's a bit rough, but it was great, and it always tried to do something different, and something actually being a joke being this great, because I don't know if that was a rumor or not, but I heard that when they first showed it, it was a joke, and it wound up turning into a game, and they're not going back to the original way that the previous Yakuza's are, with the exception of Dead Souls. We're not going to talk about that. I'm really excited, man. And if any of you haven't played Like a Dragon, please do so. It is one of the games on Game Pass. I suggest you stop doing everything you're doing and play. It's a bit long if you do everything, but trust me, you won't regret it.
Yeah, and I want to just kind of echo what you did say there. You are right. When the combat of Like a Dragon first got released, it was an April Fool's trailer that they revealed. And I don't know how true it actually is, but it sounded like, because the reception around the April Fool's trailer was so well received, that they decided, okay, let's put this into an actual game. There's a chance it was already being put into Like a Dragon just because of time frame and stuff. But yeah, when it first got revealed, it was on April 1st, and everyone was like, oh my god, like, this is hilarious, but this looks awesome. Like, I love this turn-based combat look. And then I do got to give a shout out to I don't remember what the name of the Twitter user is, but there was a user on Twitter who actually changed and impacted the game when it comes to the combat for Like a Dragon. So in the settings, you have, of course, like your skills, your attack, your defense, your bag, things like that to like use items. But when it first got revealed, you know, it wasn't exactly what it is now, but there was a Twitter user who tweeted out and tweeted to the studio and said, man, you guys missed an opportunity to spell out Sega in the menu. And I think it's because it was like, originally it was like skills, defense, attack, and etc. And so then they're like, hey, that's actually a great idea. So then they switched it to be skills, etc., attack, guard. And so then it spelled Sega as it went through it. So that was a little tidbit for you there.
That's one thing I didn't know. Thank you for putting me onto that.
Heck yeah. Yakuza 8 looks obviously fantastic from what it has. It's always, the Yakuza games always look very well done, and Yakuza Like a Dragon was great, so I hope we get some great things from that. Then we're gonna go to our last article here, and it is from PC Gamer, written by Jody McGregor, and it is Soul Frame looks like Warframe crossed with Princess Mononoke, and it goes as follows. At Digital Extremes' annual event, TennoCon, the Canadian studio revealed what's coming in the next update and expansion for its flagship game, Warframe, with the time loop-themed Duvery Paradox. Digital Extremes looked to the past for the other big announcement to come out of TennoCon 2022, and it's making a fantasy game called Soulframe. Digital Extremes are calling Soulframe a, quote, free-to-play action hybrid MMORPG, so it's fair to expect it won't be a million miles from Warframe in how it plays, only with less electric ballerinas and mech suits made of dead people and more magical sword fights. The cinematic trailer features a stag covered in ritual paraphernalia, as well as a friendly bird and a giant wolf in need of rescue, which gives it a definite Princess Mononoke vibe. Conflict between humans and nature will apparently be a theme of Soulframe, quote. With Soulframe's world-building and thematic elements, we are really looking to go back to our childhood favorites and pull inspiration from the elaborate fantasy worlds that we fell in love with growing up, said Jeff Crooks, Soulframe's creative director. Our team is really interested in this idea of nature and humanity colliding, and we'll be exploring a lot of those themes through our own lens while playing with ideas of restoration and exploration. Though no release date has been announced, Digital Extremes says Warframe fans will be familiar with the build-up to its release, which will be transparent, collaborative, and an iterative process. And those interested in finding out more can visit the Soulframe website at soulframe.com for an interactive puzzle before registering their email for updates and given an opportunity to reserve their in-game name by declaring their envoy. Now, I have gone to the website. I did the little interactive puzzle. It's very short, of course, but of course, it was still, I guess, a nice way to get into the game, or into the website, I should say. And I think Soulframe looks great. I still vividly remember playing Warframe when it first came out, and it's nowhere, I guess, I feel like that it is now. But when it first came out, I was not a fan of it. I didn't like the mission that I had to do with Warframe. I feel like they changed it so much from that since then, because I have friends who are really big into Warframe, and of course those people are very much excited for any new content for Warframe, so I'm sure they are excited for the new time loop theme that's coming out into the game. But Soulframe looks great, and I loved what I did see from that trailer. The trailer is like 5.5 minutes. It doesn't necessarily show any gameplay. It's more of like a cinematic setting trailer, but it looks really fantastic and something that'd be right up my alley. And I say this about a lot of games. I mean, I said this about Babylon's Fall, for instance, but I feel like that game would be easier for myself to jump into and play it as the game unfolds versus trying to jump into like Warframe now and try to catch up with all the stuff that released prior to it. Now, again, I'm not a Warframe person, so is that the correct mindset, like, of having to quote-unquote catch up? Probably not, but those that do play Warframe, you can always let me know in the comment sections of the video or, of course, over on the website. Again, pressstartnews.net/onemoregame. But Soulframe, again, just looks like something that would be easier for me to jump into, easier for me to soak in like more of a water droplet version versus getting a huge bucket just tossed on me and said, here's content, just enjoy it, go play it. So hopefully Soulframe comes out, one, sooner rather than later, because I do want to check it out again. That trailer really got me interested in it. But two, comes out in a good fashion. They take, of course, what they've learned from Warframe over the years and blend it very well into Soulframe to bring in a new audience like myself. Maybe that'll playing Soulframe might entice me to go back to Warframe, or depending on what they decide to do with Warframe and Soulframe moving forward. But I feel like they would want to keep both games running synonymously because they touch different themes. And I could see a lot of people who maybe love the futuristic, you know, war mech aspect of Warframe, not really liking the quote-unquote throwback nature clashing with humanity aesthetic that Soulframe brings to the table. But obviously, you gotta look to the future at some point, and Warframe is, I think, 6 or 7 years old now. It's been out for quite a while. I think, if I remember correctly, it released like at the beginning of the PlayStation 4. So that's the biggest thing that I remember. So it's getting up there in years. The game still looks fantastic, but obviously at some point you got to move on to the future, and Soulframe looks to be that future for them. But when is Soulframe coming out? I have absolutely no clue. But what I do know is what is coming out this week, and I'm going to tell you all about it with what starts with today, Friday, July 22nd. We have Capcom Arcade Stadium 2 for PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC. Live Alive for Switch. Host Light for PC. Severed Steel for Xbox Series and Xbox One. On Monday, July 25th, we have Chameleon DYH for PC. Chaos Galaxy 2 for PC. Tuesday, July 26th, we have Multiverses Open Beta for PS5, Xbox Series, PS4, Xbox One, and PC. Story of Seasons Pioneers of Olive Town for PS4, The Tarnishing of Juxtia for PC. Wednesday, July 27th, we have Octopath Traveler Champions of the Continent for iOS and Android. We also have on Thursday, July 28th, we have Autonauts versus Pirate Bots PC, Sweet Transit for PC, Bear and Breakfast for PC, Lost Epic for PS5 and PS4 PC, Captain Velvet Meteor, The Jump Plus Dimensions for Switch, Lord Winklebottom Investigates for Xbox Series, Xbox One, Switch, and PC, Kaumajo Remelia Scarlet Symphony for PC, Azure Striker Gunvolt 3 for Switch, Vesteria Saga 2, The Sacred Sword of Sylvanister for PC, and then Friday, July 29th, we have Madison for Switch, RimWorld Console Edition for PS4 and Xbox One, Digimon Survive for PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC, and Xenoblade Chronicles 3 for Switch. I think that these games, of course, are going to be hit and miss depending on what you want, but I myself am really looking forward to Live Alive. I haven't picked it up. I've talked about it before. It's a game that I'm really interested in, but backlog and all, I'm not going to be picking that up right away, but I am still very interested in it. It's been getting fairly good reviews, which is awesome to hear. That is a remake, in a sense, of a title that released, I think, all the way back in like 1995 or something of that nature, 1997, something in the 90s, and is now in the HD 2D look of Octopath Traveler, which Octopath Traveler Champions of the Continent is an Android mobile gacha collector type of game, which that's coming out on Wednesday. I'm interested in it, but of course, I've steered away from some of those games in recent times, so I don't know exactly when that's going to be the case. And Also, just kind of jumping down a little bit to some of the other games, Lost Epic, that is out on PC right now. I think it maybe is in early access. I'm not 100% sure, but Lost Epic is out right now. I know it's mixed reviews, but it looks decent to me. I'm interested to keep my eye on that one. Azure Striker Gunvolt 3 looks awesome. I have not played any of the Azure Striker games, but I really do like what I have seen from that game. That one is going to, I guess, be on my continue to watch and potentially buy list that I always get, I think, for things over this time frame. And then let's just jump down to Friday, July 29th. We have Digimon Survive for PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC. Digimon Survive is a game. I've made a video on this. You should actually go check it out on my YouTube. It is youtube.com/pressstart28. And I really like what I see from this game. I think that it would be right up my alley with how story-wise I like my games, but I love tactical strategy turn-based RPGs, and Digimon Survive is exactly that. Now, for those that don't know, though, this is the director of this game has said that he was is a big fan of Utaweru Mono, which is a visual novel slash strategy tactical RPG game that is out on PlayStation and PC, if I remember correctly. So keep that in mind, because Utaweru Mono, while I am a fan of it, I do own the first two games, which is called The Mask of Deception and The Mask of Truth. They are more visual novel than they are strategy combat. So if you're a Digimon fan and thinking that you're going to have a ton of combat in there, I don't know exactly if that's going to be the case. I could see this being like 80% visual novel content and 20% combat wise. So that is one to keep an eye out on. But I do really enjoy that. And if you're interested in picking that game up and you want to support the channel, go over onto my YouTube channel, Press Start 28, and check out the video upcoming or top 10 upcoming RPGs for 2022. There is a link down there into the Amazon account. If you buy through that, you do end up supporting the channel as well as here, the One More Game podcast, and my overall business, Press Start. So that is something. And then Xenoblade Chronicles 3. I'm a big fan of the Xenoblade Chronicles games. I love the Xeno series in general when it comes to like Xenosaga, Xenogears, Xenoblade Chronicles. I love those all together. So, of course, Xenoblade Chronicles 3 is right there for me. And Xenoblade Chronicles 3 looks like it does a great job, I guess, forming from the past Xenoblade games of Xenoblade Chronicles and Xenoblade Chronicles 2 into this new one. I love the setting, like aspect that they have set for this one, where like everyone only lives for roughly like 10 years. So like you really got 10 years to fulfill your life, but everyone is also like a soldier. So we'll see, I guess, how that one ends up playing out, how that one ends up getting reviewed. Cause at the moment they have not revealed, reviews yet. I'm assuming that'll come out either early next week, or they may even save it all the way to July 29th.
Besides the one that we previously talked about, the Capcom Arcade Stadium 2, I absolutely, this is why you shouldn't be up late at night. I made a purchase on some of the arcade games from the Capcom Stadium 2 because I wasn't sure if I wanted to get the entire set. So I played a little bit of that before I went to sleep. So that's what I'm playing currently from the list that you named.
Nice. And I know you talked a little bit about Octopath as well. Did you want to say anything for that one?
Oh, yeah. Listen. Even though right now me and that game have a love-hate relationship, any way you can get to play that game, play it. I'm currently playing the original for the Xbox and the Switch, and it's a really, 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 really slept on game. I'm going to download the iOS version, even though I have no business doing it, because I'm just adding to my backlog. But definitely, I suggest, if you're on the fence about it, at least try that one and see. Hopefully, it's not a cash grab, but definitely, definitely, definitely try it.
All right, and then my last thing, and I only am asking you this because of I know how you were feeling before with the other ones. Very quickly, are you interested or are you thinking of picking up Xenoblade Chronicles 3?
Here's the thing. I don't think I gave it a fair assessment, so I'm going to put some more time into the first one and see if the combat gets any better for me, but 3 looks amazing. So I definitely want to see you stream because I already know you're getting it. So
yeah.
Yes. If he doesn't do it, guys, come back to this episode and tag him in it to hold him accountable.
Man, you're already trying to get our listeners to riot against me. They get their pitchforks and their flame spikes, and they're just like, yeah, stream Xenoblade Chronicles 3.
It's triggered.
But all right, so I just want to say real quick, of course, we spliced in some of the things that Sharif just said throughout this video. So if the video looks a little jagged, that's because, of course, things happened and Sharif had to drop out. But he came back in and wanted to give some comments on some thoughts across the game. But that is all that we have here for this episode. Sharif, before we send him off into the weekend, is there anything you want to leave our listeners with?
Yes, it's hot outside, so please stay cool, use deodorant. Wash your hands and enjoy some of these games, man.
Gaming is fun. We talk about it all the time. So I agree with what Sharif said. Stay safe out there, especially if you do not have access to air conditioning. Look up your local cooling centers. I know every city has little spots that you can go to cool off and stay, obviously cool during those hot times. So please look those up. Please stay safe. And of course, yes, when you have a chance, play some games. They're fun. They're enjoyable. And that's how we make friends, like Sharif and I, through video games.
Yes.
But everybody, that's all that happens here on the One More Game podcast. I've been one of your co-hosts, Jeremy Culver, a.k.a. Darcey. This has been Sharif. Don't do me dirty, because all he want is love, Hamilton. And we really enjoy bringing this to you. As always, everybody, stay hydrated, stay healthy, stay safe, and keep on gaming. We'll see you guys on the next episode.